Many of you may know that Rav Shlomo Fisher passed away at the end of the week last week. It was covered in a lot of the different news sites, depending on what exactly you follow. Rav Shlomo Fisher was an absolute giant. He passed away at about the age of 90. It's an odd thing, but when people pass away, so then that's when we talk about them a little bit. That's when we reflect upon them a little bit. Achrei mos kedoshim emor, as the Darshanim used to say, that when people pass away, then we talk about how holy they were. It is what it is. But I thought it would be appropriate for about 10 minutes or so to talk about Rav Shlomo Fisher, who was one of the absolute giants and a very, very fascinating person. I want to introduce the way we talk about him. You know, it says in the Zohar that Oraisa v'Yisrael Chadhu, that there is a connection between the Jewish people and Torah. I always thought that with particular figures, you can see a connection between the way they relate to the Jewish people and the way they relate to Torah. Shlomo Fisher in particular, the way that I would describe him, I can't claim massive expertise, although his Sfarim, his Drush in particular, I happen to very, very much like. Shlomo Fisher was a unifier. He was a unifier in his relationship to Klal Yisrael. We'll speak about it in a minute. He was a unifier in his relationship to Torah. As far as Klal Yisrael goes, Shlomo Fisher was brought up from Prushim in Yerushalayim. Shlomo Fisher's brother, Dayan, Yisrael Yaakov Fisher, was the head of the Eidah Charedis for a long time. Shlomo Fisher was a Rosh Yeshiva of Itri. He was very much firmly planted in the Yeshivish world. He did spend Shabbos in places such as Shalavim. He definitely, Rav Avidan brought him in once. He spent a lot of time going around, a lot of interactions, not only with Shirim that he gave in the Ketos or Kiva Eger, but there were academics that would go and consult with him. He was a very broad person, and all were sort of welcome in his home. And he was a person that modeled a certain kind of appreciation. He's the kind of person which we referenced last year a bunch of Shlomo Warman from Hank, if anyone was familiar with him. And sometimes there are these like great people that some people really know about, but don't always get the press or the popularity that I would have assumed. So Fisher is in that category a little bit. We speak enough to people that are a little bit more knowledgeable, they will speak about Rav Shlomo Fisher and his greatness. And sometimes he wasn't a household name. He had been sick last bunch of years a little bit, but he was a very, very unique person. His relationship to Torah was absolutely fascinating. He was a person that excelled in many, many different areas. Rav Shlomo Fisher was a dayan. He functioned in the world of practical psak halacha. He was a Rosh Yeshiva that put out a sefer called Beis Yishai on the Lamdish Sugyas in Shas. He was a massive Talmud Chacham who gave shiurim again in Chitzos from Kiva Eger and others in his home. He happens to have also been an expert in a very unique way in medieval Jewish philosophy, say for Or Hashem and others. He was, as at least one academic pointed out, Mr. Mark Shapiro, perhaps one of the only Gedolei Yisrael alive nowadays, who'd been alive, who really had deep expertise in the realm of like medieval Jewish philosophy. He was unbelievable. He was also one of the great experts in the writings of the Gra. He is Bekiyas in Sifrei Chasidus. He was a person, I said this, I think, maybe last week. I remember about 20 years ago talking with the son of a very well-known Rosh Yeshiva who said for Shlomo Fisher is the only person that my father ever said really knows Kol Torah Kula. I want to give you a page. I want to share with you a brief mahalach of his in Agadata from the Sefer Drashos Beis Yishai. He understood, and this is part of the greatness, that even though, you know, in what's referred to as the Lachma Shel Torah, the bread of Torah, what really gives us sustenance, which is that world of halacha, and the Yena Shel Torah, the wine of Torah, which is compared to be that world of Agadata, which gives a certain like sweetness and pick me up. He was an expert really in both, and he often spoke about the relationship between them. He spoke about how this is in Drashos there, in Drashos Beis Yishai, in Simid Lamed Gimel, how the way that a person judges success is different in each area of Torah, that in the halachic sections of Torah, that has to do with using your mind and acquiring a certain amount of information and making sure that a person acquires a degree of expertise and that was their learning. And the world of Agadata and the world of Drush, it's less about one's mind. It's more about cultivating a person's development and relationship. It's more about being able to feel a sense of inspiration, to be able to be moved. It's a Torah which impacts the heart more. And for that reason, many people are very good at one and not as good at the other. It's a different skill set. It's a very unique phenomenon to find a person that could be so good at both. I was struck even by the following. I figured we would share over a brief idea because I'm Hanukkah. Before we share over the idea, just to give you, this is a random page in the Sefer, who he quotes on this page, the Drashas HaRan, a Medrash in the Yalkut, a Zohar on Parshas Baaloscha, the Gra on Avos in Perek Dalid, the Ramah, the Magen Avram, the Meshech Chachma, the Bnei Yisaskar, the Sfar Makadoshim, whoever that is, the Margolios Hayam, Rashi and Shir Hashirim, the Marsha. That is on one page here of his writings. Now, that's impressive. It's impressive also if he's not sitting there just to get some. These things aren't even on Bar Ilan, most of those Sfarim. I mean, this is really a degree of expertise which is breathtaking. And the Sefer Drash Beis Yishai is very, very popular. It's popular because sometimes people that quote a very wide range of things, it can feel like they're muddled, it can feel like they're all over the place, and as if they don't have a comprehensive perspective or a unified perspective. Part of Rav Shlomo Fischer as a unifier was the capacity to look at all different areas of Torah and be able to bring them together in a way that was not muddled, in a way that wasn't sloppy. It wasn't like, the difference between, speaking on Shabbos about this, quality art, you know, where things can be sort of all over the place, but it comes together very beautifully, and someone that pours paint on different areas where it can look like totally sloppy. So Fischer, it's a beautiful merging of different worlds. On the next page, you have comments of the Chiddush Rim and Rabbi Nachman. At the same time, again, one of the great experts of the Gra, and then it's Ibn Ezra, and it's the breadth was absolutely astounding. What Rav Shlomo Fischer was able to do. I want to briefly share with you just part of a mahalach about Hanukkah, just part of an approach. It's much more than we're going to than is really there. But in the time that we have, I don't know how practical it will be. The Shulchan Aruch begins Hilchos Chanukah commenting that the meals that a person has on Chanukah are not halakhic obligations. That on Sukkot, you're obligated to have su'udas. On Chanukah, they are divrei rishus. They're optional meals a person has. If a person doesn't have a formal meal on Chanukah, you don't have bread or whatever it is at a meal, so it's fine. So says Shulchan Aruch. The Ramah says there is a little bit of a mitzvah with the meals that you have on Chanukah. And one of the things he says, because on those days were the Chanukas HaMizbeach. When we initially consecrated the Mizbeach, this the Mishnah Berurah elaborates upon. We were done with the Mishkan on Chaf Hei Kislev. We were done with the Mishkan on Chanukah, but we waited until Nisan to actually begin, the Medrash says. So these were days of finishing up a little bit of the Mishkan. Some official wonders why that would be a reason to have a good meal. And why a partial meal? Meaning, Chanukah would have thought be a better reason to celebrate with Seudas than the fact that on that day we finished, the Ramah says, Melechas HaMishkan, we finished at that point in time, Chanukas HaMizbeach. Why is that institute the need for a meal altogether, and what's the significance there? So he offers the following very, very beautiful idea based on a comment of the Medrash and a comment of the Drashos HaRan. It's a very, I think, powerful insight for Chanukah. Says Rav Shlomo Fischer as follows. You know, Nadav and Avihu, on the first day of the Beis HaMikdash, so they offer, the Mishkan, they offer Ketores, and they were killed in the process of their Avodah. Why were they killed in the process of their Avodah? Because it was, Chazal say, the Ketores of a Yachid. That Ketores has to be a national kind of an obligation. This was Asher Lo Tziva Osam, they weren't commanded. It was individuals on their own offering Ketores. And that was so problematic. However, points out Rav Fischer, based on the Medrash, the Nesiim, when they consecrated the Mishkan, what did Nachshon, what did they all offer? They also offered Ketores, also as individuals. Why was the Ketores offered by Nachshon considered to be any more appropriate than the Ketores offered by Nadav and Avihu? They were all individuals. So Rav Fischer develops a very, very beautiful idea. And that is, that Chazal tells us that the Nesiim, even though they offered individual karbanos, because they all offered the same ones, I offered mine, and the next day he offered his, it had the status of being like a tzibor's karban, like the Gemara says about karban Pesach. It was able to become all one because we were so connected, it was an act of achdus. The Ran points out that ketores, the Gemara tells us, has different spices in the ketores. One of those spices, the Gemara says, increases on Davav, is the chelvina. It's a bad-smelling spice. Why would you have a bad-smelling spice included there? So Chazal tell us to include within us even those Jews that kiviyachal, quote-unquote, don't smell as good, the Jews that are poshe Yisrael, even those Jews are included. pointed out the Ran and Drashas HaRan, I'm sure there's some more insight, that when it comes to the Chalbana, that it's not only that, but it actually strengthens the smell overall. That there's something missing if you're missing the power of the Poshe Yisrael. When they become part of Klal Yisrael, so we're able to overlook elements of their sins, and they become part of something which is much more beautiful and much more powerful. In that sense, one of the lessons of the Chanukah HaMizbeach, Chanukah HaMishkan, one of the ways that we ensure that we're worthy to have a Mishkan, have a Mizbeach, is by having proper Achdus, by being able to integrate well with other people. The same act of a Ketores could either be a Ketores of a Yachid, which could be terrible, or if it does an appreciation of others around me, of not trying to do better than the next guy, to show him up, but to be able to be consistent and one with others, so that is able to channel in many ways, that's able to build part of what we want with the Mishkan. Says Rosh Fisher, that's why it helps establish why we have meals on Chanukah. It's a mitzvah, it's a little bit more than a reshus to have meals on Chanukah because of the Chanukah HaMizbeach. What does that mean? What it means is as follows. One of the ways that you honor the consecration of the Mishkan, which was built and predicated on a yesod of achdus, is by having meals together with other people. That sometimes being able to celebrate with others. It is not a halachic obligation of having bread or the like, but it is a deep value of being able to integrate with other people, being able to connect with them in a very, very meaningful way. So Fisher goes on to point out that it's clear in Tanakh and it's clear in certain a variety of Mekoros, there's a link between the Ketores and Ner Chanukah. Between the Ketores and Ner Chanukah. Part of the goal of Ner Chanukah also, of a Ner Yishu Beso, being able to have family members come together, and strictly speaking, Biyotze with just one candle, has also to do with this Yisod of Achdus. The reason why I like this Torah is in the context of Shlomo Fisher, who was a person that personified in many ways the power of unity, the power of Achdus, the ability to understand how different parts of Torah can come together, how the world of Psach and the world of Lamdas and the world of Chassidus and the Mishnah of the Gra and the world of Tanakh, the world of Rishonim, it can all fit together in a very, very beautiful way. And again, sorry for taking out your time a little bit on Sunday and not on Tuesday, but a great opportunity to be able to be aware of his Torah. It does require, it's a longer mahalchem, it takes some time to go through them, but a very, very beautiful form of Torah. Hopefully the Torah can be le'iloi nishmaso. Okay, let's talk a little bit.